Acts chapter 13. Before we go to that, let me just share with you a good note. We were singing, "Great is thy faithfulness." That testimony is true, isn't it? Has God failed you? Did God fail you in 2011? No, the question becomes, have I been faithful to him? But he is faithful, and he uses our service for him, our service to him, and ministry on his behalf to people. For a little over 3 years, I think it has been, we have pursued an English as a second language ministry. And it's been interesting to be here on Saturday mornings and interact with the immigrant students who come. We have people from a number of different ethnic backgrounds, language groups. And part of the curriculum, a concerted part of the curriculum, involves scripture, the gospel. We're not only teaching English, but we are teaching the gospel in the process. And one of the couples who has been faithful in attending ESL classes is an older couple from Russia. They grew up under atheistic communism. And if you talk with the wife, I think even today, she will be pretty insistent that religion never was a part of their lives and hasn't been a significant interest. Their main objective in attending ESL classes was to prepare the husband, prepare both of them for taking citizenship exams. And yesterday there was a great deal of joy and jubilation as the group met for coffee, as they do every Saturday at 10 o'clock, because English is taught and Christ is presented in the coffee time as well. It began with a lot of jubilation on the part of this couple, because on Friday, German, the husband, passed his English exam to become an American citizen. And that is due in large part to the work of our ESL teachers. Now, what's significant about that is not only that he's a stroke victim, an older guy finding it difficult to make all the adjustments to a new life here in the United States. But what's significant about that is that both of them know that this happened because people from Liberty Baptist Church, who claim the name of Jesus Christ, have invested in them. And now we are friends. Now we have a relationship. And it's my distinct impression that German and Lilia are not going to go away just because they've completed their objective. Will you pray for this couple and for others, that we might see some of them come to know Christ as Savior as a result? Okay, so business meetings. There are several recorded in the book of Acts, a few, small number. And I'd like for us to take a look at two of them tonight to see what we can learn, what can encourage us from them. The first one is recorded in Acts chapter 13. And we know this better as a missions passage, but really, it's about a church business meeting. There were at Antioch. Antioch is in Syria, just northeast of the land of Israel. You can stand on the Golan Heights and look across into Syria. There's the Israeli checkpoint, there's the UN checkpoint, and there's the Syrian checkpoint, and you can look up a long valley, and on a clear day, you can see Damascus. But there were at Antioch, foreign country now, in the church that was there, prophets and teachers. Five of them are named: Barnabas, and Simeon, who was called Niger, and Lucius of Cyrene in Africa, and Manaen, who had been brought up with Herod the Tetrarch, and Saul. While they were ministering to the Lord and fasting, the Holy Spirit said, "Set apart for me Barnabas and Saul for the work to which I have called them." Then when they had fasted and prayed and laid their hands on them, they sent them away. Well, here's the first of the two churches that we read about taking care of God's business in the New Testament era. And I should point out that this was still the apostolic era. There were 12 men, probably 11 at this time, but anyway, there were men whom God had called, whom Christ had called to serve him in apostolic ministry. And that gave them special authority. It gave them special powers. They received revelation from God. But here we're reading about a church business meeting. In fact, it was probably a regular service, maybe a Sunday morning service, because verse 2 says they were ministering to the Lord. And the wording that Luke used here suggests that this was a church, the church in Antioch, going about its regular service to the Lord, which would include prayer and praise and scripture reading and Bible teaching and all of the rest. And in the middle of this, what might have been a Sunday morning service, the Holy Spirit said, we're not told how he said it, but the Holy Spirit worked in that congregation and said, set apart for me, separate for me Barnabas and Saul for the work to which I have called them. He had already called these two men to a special area of ministry, and now the Holy Spirit is calling on the congregation to take some action, to separate these two leaders in the church for special ministry. And then verse 3 says, then when they had fasted and prayed and laid their hands on them, they sent them away. Some Bible scholars believe that it happened in the same church service that they took this action. They had to come to some agreement and then take the action as a congregation that is laid out here. Let me point out just a couple of things. This church was involved in regular service for Christ in its community. And secondly, they were sensitive to the leading of the Holy Spirit. Here in the first century, not so long after the Lord Jesus went back to glory, perhaps they remembered his words, his promise, that he would send the Holy Spirit to be with them permanently, be with his followers permanently, and when the Holy Spirit came, he would lead them. He would guide them into all truth. And so they were, first of all, very active in serving the Lord in their community. Secondly, they were very sensitive to the leading of the Holy Spirit. And then they responded by taking the action that the Spirit of God was leading them to do, was leading them to take as a congregation. I think that that's how 21st century Christians, churches, should transact God's business, don't you? In the regular course of things, seeking and then sensing and then following the leading of the Holy Spirit in whatever business there is to transact, whether it is separating a member or two of our members for special areas of service or any other facet of God's work. And then go with me to the book of Acts chapter 15. We find a second church business meeting. I need to go to verses 1 and 2 to get the background. Some men came down from Judea, that would be the church in Jerusalem, teaching and began teaching the brethren, unless you are circumcised according to the custom of Moses, you cannot be saved. And when Paul and Barnabas had great dissension and debate with them, the brethren determined that Paul and Barnabas and some others of them should go up to Jerusalem to the apostles and elders concerning this issue. So here we have a problem in the church in Antioch, where some members of the church in Jerusalem came and were teaching false doctrine. They said that Gentiles had to become Jewish, in essence, if they wanted to be saved. And without the Jewish ritual of circumcision, men could not become followers of Jesus and could not experience his salvation. So the church in Antioch determined to send some of its members as messengers to the church in the city of Jerusalem. That was the setting. Now go down to verse 22. It seemed good to the apostles and the elders with the whole church to choose men from among them to send to Antioch with Paul and Barnabas, Judas and Silas, leading men among the brethren, and they sent this letter by them. So at the beginning of chapter 15, we have another business session in the church in Antioch, but here in verse 22, after the messengers from the church in Antioch had presented the problem caused by members from the church in Jerusalem to the pastors and apostles who were leading the Jerusalem church, the congregation met, and they addressed the problem. They addressed the need. Notice in verse 22 it says, it seemed good to the apostles and the elders with the whole church to take a specific action. And in verse 25, in a letter that they sent to the church in Antioch by the men whom the church in Jerusalem chose to be messengers to the church in Antioch, they wrote, it seemed good to us. And then again in verse 28, it seemed good to the Holy Spirit and to us to lay upon you no greater burden than these essentials. Well, they were making decisions. And so the question came to my mind, how did they make the decisions? Well, A.T. Robertson and R.C.H. Lenski surmised that there was a show of hands, or that a vote took place by acclamation. It clearly was the whole church involved in this and not just the leaders. It seemed good. That expression means in the first place to appear or seem, but it also has the sense of being recognized as something specific. So that congregation recognized that it was good to the whole church, and then later in verse 28 we read it seemed good to the Holy Spirit. Again, the church in Jerusalem, led by the apostles and its pastors, were sensitive to and seeking for the direction of the Holy Spirit in decisions that they made. And they could tell how the Holy Spirit was leading them. And they could determine what was good to the entire congregation. I don't know if they raised their hands to vote, or if it was a vote by acclamation, a voice vote. But somehow they could tell, and it's very clear that they came together in agreement. They voted as one on the issue that was before them. Well, when we come to church business meetings, we should probably be thinking about what God wants us to do as a congregation instead of thinking about our own personal affairs. We should be involved and engaged in serving the Lord regularly in our community. And we should seek the guidance of the Holy Spirit as we approach a business session of whatever size and whatever importance. So, James Pigott, did he escape?